My name is David Blumseth. I will open this meeting of the Becker County Planning and Zoning Committee and ask its members to introduce themselves, starting on my left. Erica.
Erica Jepson, Becker County Commissioner.
Cole Scolini, Tug Township.
Kim Mattson, Cormorant Township.
Jeff Moritz, Lake Eunice Township.
Steve Rindo, Forest Township.
Craig Hall, Heidelberg Lake.
Ariel Lake.
Kyle Barbert, Becker County Planning and Zoning.
Mickey Bradbury, Becker County Planning and Zoning.
All right, thank you. Minutes from the previous meeting, any corrections or additions to the minutes? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve them. A motion by Ivor, do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Second by Jeff. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed, same sign, motion carried. All right, I'm going to go over the protocol for this evening's hearing. First, we'll introduce any old business that was set aside from a previous meeting, which we have one on the agenda. Then we'll introduce new business, which will consist of conditional use permits, change of zone, and preliminary plot approvals. I ask the applicant to please step forward, introduce their application. I would ask that no one in the general audience direct any comments to the applicant without going through this board. Sufficient time will be given to those who would like to comment on the application. After all have spoken, we'll ask admin staff to read any written correspondence that was not in our packet. So if you sent a letter in, that's already written into the record. So then we'll close testimony and the board will deliberate. The board is one of recommendation to the County Board of Commissioners. They will address this planning and zoning matters around 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday, which will be what, June 2nd? 4th?
3rd.
3rd. So right between us, June 3rd. All right, I ask everybody to shut off any cell phones and we'll begin.
First applicant, old business, Thumb Trust, requesting a conditional use permit to operate a nonprofit makerspace and wood turning school. This application was tabled from the April 30th, 2025 hearing. Just a side note, so the hostel portion of that was dropped. The consideration for overnight stay would be through a short-term rental permit, which would be administrated through our office.
All right, thank you, Kyle. Is there somebody here to speak to this application? Applicant, please.
Hi.
Please state your name.
My name is Jessica Edwards. I'm the executive director for DL Makerspace, so I was the one that submitted the application to you guys.
All right.
So, and first I want to thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to come here today. I was unable to attend last month and had someone else come in my stead because we were working on moving from Colorado to Minnesota. I'm happy to say we have officially relocated and are here full time. So we are very excited to be here. You already mentioned that the hostel portion was dropped from the application, and that is because there was a lot of confusion with that the last time, and so I decided to take that out of the application. It was based off of, in Colorado, I mentored underneath a professional wood turner named Stuart Batty in Boulder, Colorado. He has a wood turning school out there, and when he has people come attend his school, they stay at local hotels nearby, and so I thought the property there would serve as a space to do that. But for the time being, I'm just kind of dropping that portion from it completely and just focusing more on the makerspace and getting that approved, as well as the wood turning school. And in the time frame until the short-term rental permit is approved, people will just stay at local hotels when they come into town for that. So in the give some background, the DL Makerspace is a nonprofit business. It is a place for the community to come and learn how to work with power tools. It's for DIYers, entrepreneurs, people in the trades to come and use state-of-the-art equipment and tools to better help themselves build and create in a community-based environment and a collaboration type of environment as well. So, and with the collaboration and community-based idea in mind, I have support from Project 412 to work with them in partnerships, and I have a support letter from them for this nonprofit space. I also have been working with the local wood turning community here in town to get them involved in the makerspace as well as the school, to host them with their monthly meetings and have a place for them to gather. So, and I've got some members in the audience here today to support this, as well as a letter of recommendation as with me. If you would like me to read them, I can, or I can hand them out to you guys to kind of peruse yourselves.
You can just hand them out.
Okay. Fine. I just have one copy.
Okay, we'll pass it.
But I would open it up for questions, comments from you guys.
All right, any questions for the applicant?
The only question I had is, one of the concerns that we had was that there would potentially someday be a retail space within the school, the workshop. Is that something that you would receive in the future?
No, I don't think so. If there's any retail or anything happening, it would only be online sales. So nothing, no separate retail storefront or anything of that nature.
Of course, the Kyle would require another conditional use if they were to go commercial. So
correct.
You would have to come again to the board. And,
sure.
Because it'd be a change of use.
That makes sense. Yep.
As far as supervision out there during the daytime, is there going to be somebody there that operates the place? Or?
Yep. So that will be me. The house there will be my office. And then I am a wood turner, I'm a professional wood turner, and so I'll be using that as my studio space to continue working, to continue demonstrating, practicing. I travel around the US to do demonstrations. I've been in international publications, so I will be there on the daily. And then the future, I would love to get volunteers to also assist in being there during normal business hours.
Do you have somebody else to take your place if for some reason you can't be there a certain day? So it's always got somebody, or people have somebody there to talk to?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think right now, since I'm in the beginning infancy structure of this, I don't yet, but I do plan on having somebody there. By the time we open, I plan to have another person involved so that there is a backup in case I cannot be there.
Because with the machines involved, just concerned about emergency, something happening to somebody, and
absolutely. Yeah, so you have yep. And with each type of machine, there's a specific type of certification you have to take before you can use it. Mm-hmm. So with the table saw or the CNC machines or 3D printers or the wood lathes, you have to take a 60-minute certification course with myself or another member of the team when I build a team to be able to use those power tools. And we'll provide the proper insurance and liabilities to cover any type of accidental damage or anything like that to keep everyone safe.
All right, any other questions for the applicant? Great, thank you, Jessica.
Yeah, thank you.
Before I open it up for anybody else to speak, I'd ask some to raise your hands. How many people in the audience are here to speak to this application? All right, just so you know, I'm going to limit your testimony to 3 minutes. I will set a timer just in the interest of time. So with that, I will open it up. Anybody else to speak to this application, please step forward and state your name.
Look, me. I'm Jerry Blayett. I live across the street from the proposed location. And so I have prepared a quick summary here. So aiming for 2 minutes here. So good evening. Thanks for having us here and allowing to speak to this. While I appreciate that the applicant has removed the hostel from the original plan, I remain strongly opposed to the revised proposal to turn the residential property into a nonprofit makerspace and wood turning school. The removal of the hostel does not eliminate the serious concerns that the plan raises. This project still brings a large building, increased public traffic, mechanical noise, and unfamiliar visitors into a quiet residential area. One of my biggest concerns is the safety risk to children in our neighborhood. I've got six kids across the street. We're on bikes, out there all the time, regularly playing. The added transient traffic from open classes, public events, schools, and rotating members creates a situation that feels very similar to a lodging style turnover. This isn't safe or appropriate for a family-oriented neighborhood. It's a great idea, just doesn't belong where they're trying to put it. even with being, so even without being a for-profit business, it still feels like one. There's gonna be public classes, events, heavy tool usage, you know, potentially commercial operation type stuff that just doesn't belong. For these reasons, I respectfully urge the commission to deny the conditional use permit. Thank you for your time.
All right, any questions for Jerry? Jerry, please stand. You'll come up and talk at the end.
Okay, perfect, so. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Jerry. Anybody else to speak to this application?
Hi there. My name is Heather Schmidt. I live directly right next door to the south of the proposed property. As you can see, our house, our front door, our living room window is 20 feet from the property line, and they want to build 20 feet from that. So we're basically 40 feet away. I have the same concerns that Jerry does, but I have a couple extra. My husband, who's with me here tonight, two-stroke survivor, right? He likes to watch birds, right? Our bird feeders are right out our living room window. You put in a wood-turning school, noise, they're talking about double garage doors. What are you going to do with double garage doors? Open up ventilation, is what I can assume, right? And so you open the garage doors, you're going to have extra noise. He needs naps during the day. How is he supposed to have naps with extra people, noises, car doors, equipment, machinery? The list can go on and on and on. Sorry, I'm emotional, but it's my world. Kids live next door, right? One of them has medically induced asthma. What is the dust going to do to that? Does anybody know? I would hate to find out by visiting them in the ER, right? Another member, medically prognosed migraines due to smells. Wood turning, what are you going to do? Varnish? You have to finish the projects, right? You're not going to not have a finished product. What's going to happen to the fumes? You have ventilation, where does it vent out to? The outside. Where does that go? 40 feet to the south. What's that? My house. So I can't have my windows open? Sorry, I don't know where I am with time. They're going to operate from what? 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. So I can enjoy my house, my time, with my family after 7 p.m. when my husband goes to bed at 8 because of his strokes that he needs to have extended sleep time. It's not fair. Why? I honestly urge you not to let this go through. Great concept. I agree with the concept 100%. Wrong location. There are places for lease in the ID Park right off of Richwood Road. There's two available right now, right next to Marshmallow. Go there. Plenty of parking, two big buildings. They can obviously put something in right there. So that would be my... That's all I have to say right now.
All right, any questions for Heather?
Yeah, how far are you from where this is gonna be put in place?
Our front door is about, because we had to get a permit to build 20 feet from the property line, and so that's kind of where our house is. If you look at the place, our house, can I show you where our house is on that
right.
map?
Sure.
Our house is right here.
Okay.
They want to put it right here. So that's our front door, right there. Our front door is right here.
Now this is where it's going here.
This is where it's going here. This is my garage.
Right there. Okay.
And that's our front door, and I live in your windows right here, and this little girl right here, mm-hmm. that's the bird feeders I'm talking about.
Okay, so you're right next to it.
We're right next to it.
All right.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Great. Thanks, Heather.
Thank you.
Anybody else to speak to this application? Please step forward.
Hi, I'm Steve Strumstead. Here as part of the Lakes Woodturners group that covers all the way to Ferguson. But a bunch of us old men having fun. I also am still a winter Texan, and during my retirement, got down to our RV resort. Now, this was an RV resort, mobile homes and RVs side by side. And I was able to put up a cabinet shop. So I do cabinet work, custom furniture, custom cabinets, and now turning, which has just been since COVID. But I asked all the people living right by me, every time a new couple moves in, I tell them, you know, I'm here working, and I'm right beside you. And I won't start till 8 o'clock, because that's our quiet time. But if you hear my machines, or anything that I do bothers you, don't go to the ownership. Don't, you know, talk to a bunch of other people. Just come to me and tell me, and I'll quit doing whatever you did. I've been there 14 years and not had one complaint. And I'm a one-man cabinet shop, but I'm still making kitchens and bathrooms and custom dining room tables, as well as turn. And I have regular 2x6 wall with added insulation. And you really can't hear these machines through that. As far as sawdust, you know, I have nothing to do except put my sawdust in a dumpster down there. Dust collection inside the building, but as far as outside, there is no sawdust out there. So I think there's some anxiety here. I understand the anxiety. But in my 14 years in Texas, my neighbors have not complained at all, and most of them have now become clients, and I build stuff for them, so they're happy. The benefit to the community is great. All the things that Jessica talked about are given a group like ours a place to meet. You end up with charities. There's a bunch of wood-turning charity things that go along, donating 100 bowls and selling them at an auction sale, and the whole $20,000 goes to whoever you're supporting. The other thing is youth. You're talking about kids and worrying about kids. My experience with kids is if they've got any inclination to do this, you can take a kid who's like my grandson, who was not doing real well in school, had this official dyslexia. But in the fourth grade, he was kind of different until he found out how good he was with 3D things and turned out on the lathe. Turned him around completely. So if we could get in with the schools, that's easy to do. As far as volunteers to help, you know, numbers of people around them are not there, it won't be a problem with our lathe group.
All right, your time is up.
Yeah, okay.
All right, any questions for Steve? Right? Anybody else to speak to this application, please step forward. Yep, please step forward, ma'am.
Hello, my name is Debbie, and I am a neighbor to the proposed facility, maybe 1/8 mile away, just on 260th. The gentleman that just spoke pointed out that woodworking has a positive impact on children and other people, and it does. Creating is a great thing. However, he's a one-man show, and the proposed property is to be quite busy from the sounds of it, with events, open houses, members, people coming and going. That's a lot different than just one person doing his working, which I appreciate. Basically, this is turning the residential area into kind of a commercial business setting with, like, the first gentleman, Jerry, that spoke, indicated there's going to be noise, traffic, and it's not just like the summer or just the winter, it's 365 days a year. It changes the residential country wildlife setting into a more commercial busy area, and I'm not excited about that at all. Also the parking, if there's going to be that much in events, that people coming and going, I've looked at that property, I can't see that all of those cars are going to be able to be accommodated on that property, which then ends up being on the side of the street, and that's right on a hill. It's a very steep hill, it's a blind spot, you can't see cars coming and going. which then makes me think about like the kids playing. We have our grandkids. Mr. Blahut, Jerry Blahut, has his 6 kids there. It becomes a very more congested area, and we're not excited about that thought either. Then there's the watershed issue. I'm gonna be done because I know there's somebody else here that wanted to speak to that, but we have concerns about that as well. So, and then hearing that there's a future short-term rental permit request gonna be put up, then we've got people coming to rent. It's a rental property again, and I feel that it will reduce the value of our residential community country home property should we decide to resell. Then we've got a business there, another business, a busy area. So just not excited about it at all. It is a good idea in a different location. Thank you.
All right, any questions for Debbie? Thank you, Debbie.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
All right, anybody else to speak to this application?
Good evening. My name is Rick Jensen, 13651 260th Avenue. I just have a couple of concerns. I learned the other day that the septic system on the property is only set up approved for 6 persons. Okay, that's one concern. The second concern would be the water supply. It's a well, and softer and ensuing issues with that. Septic field freezing up, water might freeze up, that sort of thing. When I think it through, to the future, I think there will be a request for city water and sewer, and that will impact us as properties neighboring on special assessments. We will be the ones that will end up having to pay for that somewhere in the future, if that indeed were to happen. Businesses want to grow. This is going to become a business. Doesn't matter how you stack it. They want to be self-sustaining. They don't want to rely on contributions and special government programs, on and on and on. It's going to be a business. We know that. I would strongly recommend that for all the reasons that have already been given. And I just moved here 18 years ago, and I just cannot wrap my head around this concept in this location. In fact, I did drive through the city the other day looking where it would be appropriate, and it was stated, and I can't remember who just said it, the Calgary said it, by the Becker County Food Pantry. There's lots of room there. It's open space. There's adequate parking, good drainage. It's not near residential. Noise is not an issue. Dust is not an issue. It can be just a perfect setting. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right. Any questions for Rick?
Oh, you said right next to the food pantry?
Wherever there's
so right next to the food pantry, there's a residential area right across the street. Right?
I know that there's houses across the street. They're about a block away, yes. But they're not right beside the business.
Right across the street.
That's different than 20 feet away or 40 feet away.
Not much more.
No. But it is a level surface area. This property is either up or down. And water runs downhill. Parking is difficult in winter. We know that just watching the years that I've lived here. Thank you.
Any other questions for Rick? All right, thank you, Rick. All right, anybody else to speak to this application? Anybody else to speak to this application? Yes, please step forward. So, yep.
Jessica Edwards again. Thank you guys for bringing up your concerns. A lot of these concerns I've thought of myself. I have young kids. Obviously, traffic is a huge thing. Dust, ventilation, safety is a huge thing for me. When I'm wood turning, I'm in a full 3M suit. It looks like I'm going spelunking or something. So with ventilation and finishes and varnishes, there's a concern about that and having dust outside. All of the work will be done and contained inside of the building. There will be proper ventilation and dust control systems in place inside, and all that dust goes inside of bags and is collected there, and then those will be disposed of properly. Same thing with varnishes and finishes. Those will all be disposed of properly and by the manufacturer's guidelines.
The size, I actually reduced the size of this building from the original application of a 60 by 40 down to a 40 by 45. And that was to address previous concerns about the overall size. It's only going to be 15 feet larger than the current garage that is there now. And it'll be, it will not be moved any further south than what that southern wall is of the garage. So it'll come forward to the east and a little bit more to the north, but it won't move further south to that property line. When I build this structure, this building, I really want to keep the aesthetics top of mind and have it match the current house. So currently right now, there's a blue building and a white house. They don't really coordinate. The new structure will coordinate with the house with residential lighting, not commercial lighting. There will not be any large signage or anything that will change the overall look and feel of this space. And then property values also came up as a concern. I think a larger shop of this size, whether it's to be used as a garage in the future, say we expand and we relocate because we need a bigger space, this shop size will appeal to any buyer that is a car collector, a woodworker, or a mechanic. As far as the number of people, I only anticipate a total of 10 people being on site all at one time. There won't be these large events or things happening after hours. It'll all be contained during that time frame. And the number of people for 10, I mean, that's about, you know, a full household with a bunch of teenage kids and all their friends coming over. So I don't know how that number is any different than if a large family lived in the house and had two kids in every single one of those bedrooms. And then they all have friends over or relatives visiting, or they're just a busy household. Privacy and the concern of the front door, I also had that concern of the neighbor to the south. And when I stood back on the driveway looking at parking and how would the light of cars affect the neighboring property, something to alleviate that would be to plant trees along the property line, get approval from that neighbor, and then plant some evergreens, so then there's some year-round coverage and protection from their lines. The other thing with sound and noise, I mentioned everything will be contained inside of the building and structure itself. All the air compressors and ventilation systems will be contained inside of a separate room to help reduce noise. And then everything will be fully insulated too, so that will help reduce noise as well. And there was also a concern about drainage. These things are a concern of mine too, and when I do a new building, I have to, you know, provide a building permit and a site alter. I'll have to do a site alteration permit from what I understand with the county, and those things will be addressed during that time, like how to properly drain water from that back hill so that it's not creating any unwanted runoff or running directly into the building itself. With overnight guests and rental, that is a completely separate permit. And to my understanding, every single person that has a residential property in Becker County can apply for that short-term rental permit. And as far as the septic is brand new. And again, when I get that permit or when I apply for that permit, for short-term rental, I'll be ensuring that the septic system will hold the number of people that would be using that space and staying in that house, which it is 12. That is what it is approved for by the guidelines and the ordinances of the short-term rental.
So the septic's a compliant septic when you purchased it?
Say that again?
The septic was compliant when you purchased
it. Absolutely. It was brand new, just installed a few months prior to that, and yep, there was no issues with it.
Right. Any other questions for Jessica?
As far as parking goes, how many vehicles? You said there might be 10 people there at one time. So you're looking at 10 vehicles?
Yep.
Okay. Do you have parking up in your area? I can't quite remember how big it was and stuff. But
the parking will have to be reconfigured a little bit than what it is. But I believe that there's enough space on the front side of the garage, the shop, as well as the right side directly in front of the house. And I think there was a concern about having garage doors on either side, and that sure that yes, that is for ventilation, but that's also to be able to get tools easily into the building. because it can be dual purpose. It can be used as a garage later on. If we expand and grow bigger and need to relocate, I want to make sure that this is a viable garage for anybody that would be purchasing the lot. The lot is 3 acres. There's plenty of space there. There is lots of wildlife. I love that. That's also the attract for me, is that I wanted to create a retreat where people can work amongst the woods and kind of create close to nature and be close to nature when they're making a building.
So your garage doors are going to the north, correct? Away from the property, the other adjacent property, towards the house.
Towards,
are they doing that, or are they going towards 260th?
Go towards 260th. Yeah. One on one side and one on the other side.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions for Jessica? All right. Thank you. All right, Kyle, any other letters received that were not sent out to us?
No, sir.
All right, thank you. With that, we will close testimony on this application and open up to discussion of the board.
I guess, my opinion, I've obviously heard the comments, but to me, I don't think it's gonna be that intrusive. People that do woodworking all the time in their places, if it is done properly, I really don't think the noise, the fumes, the dust are going to be a problem.
If you can manage a shop class in middle school and function with classrooms next to it, I think we can manage it on an open white property. I mean, seriously, shop class, you don't hear stuff outside of the classroom. No. Yeah, it's brick, masonry. But I mean, added traffic, I mean, these roads sustain thousands of cars a day during Wheat Festival, well, no one's getting killed that I know of.
Right.
So, I mean, and if it can sustain that for a 3 or 7 day period, it can sustain 10 more cars.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's a township road, it's got a campground, it's in a busy area already.
Yep.
I mean, it's only going to get busier to the annexation, probably, right? Not because of this one business, the nonprofit, that's where the city's growing.
That's where the city's growing.
So, annexation is a probable cause just where you live. So, I mean, we're not here to. And the septic, no issue, right? It's based on bedrooms.
Right.
If she overuses it, it's your problem. She's gonna have to address it and get a different septic. I mean, that's the way it works, right? So, yeah, I wouldn't put it anywhere else in the county. I mean,
as good as any.
Right.
Then she talked about putting trees or something, you know, between the two lines, property lines. So that's a good.
I would say if she would consider a fence, it might be the neighborly thing to do. Right? And can you get, they got to give the neighbor the nice side of the fence, or she can build a two side fence. I mean, that'd be up to her, but that'd be kind of a neighborly thing to do. I don't think we're not asking for a side setback except, you know, request. So, really, I'm not going to ask. My purpose is I wouldn't ask for them to do a fence because they're not required, you know, they're not requesting to get closer. If they're saying I'll get 10 feet, you got to do some visual screening, but they're in the county ordinance. So, I mean, everybody's got to live by that ordinance, right?
Right.
No matter what you do. You want to put a woodworking shop or build your own custom cars for fun. You don't have to come see us. You just do your job.
Right.
Cut them apart.
I guess I got a septic question. This would be for Kyle, too, I guess, mostly. The number of people that you've heard that are going to be there now and using the facility, the septic system is relatively new. Is it going to meet the ordinance that we have for a number of people using that area, as far as you know? Do you know? Or
it's size, I just looked, it was put in on July 12th of 24, and it's sized for 600 gallons per day use.
Okay. Is that going to handle the 10 people
or
so?
That's for a four-bedroom house. A short-term rental says that you could have 3 people per bedroom. So according to our ordinance, yes.
Okay, that's right.
The rental permit does require a certificate of compliance. They're good for 3 years. Short-term rental is good for 1 year. So on the fourth year, if you guys were to approve this, we would require a certificate of compliance on that system. So it would have to be monitored if you were to approve. I should say actually after that, it's good for 5 once they're put in, 3 after that. So every 3 years that would need to be looked at.
That's for the short-term rental or for the conditional use permit?
Well, both. I would just. Basically,
we don't approve the short-term rental, right?
No,
yeah.
It's administrative.
Sure.
But that does trigger, after so long, a compliance.
For the people that were concerned about the parking, as well as myself, Is there to the point where we could put no parking signs down there, or is that anything that we can do, or is that would be a city thing, or is it something we can't touch? Just curious.
Township. Township road, that's Lakeview Township.
Yeah.
The township would do that?
For Lakeview Township. And I think actually, I think the there probably are no parking signs down there as WeFest is as well. I'm not sure. I'd have to check. But around WeFest, there are no parking signs already.
Yeah. Just when people show up here and they see a bunch of cars up there, it's going to be really easy to maybe to park along the street. And if we could head that off somewhere, the concerns with parking and people walking and, you know, coming up behind the car, that type of deal. So it's something that maybe could be thought about.
All right, any further discussion?
I'll just make one statement, Maura. We did approve that kind of woodworking slash wood finishing shop on East Cozy Cove Road right next to a residential. There was fume concerns. Actually visited with the neighbor yesterday, and he said his concerns, he's never had a smell or hint of any varnish, anything coming out of that all finished shop. That all they do is finish wood all day on Cozy Cove Road, on East Cozy Cove, sorry, right next to down there. But I did visit with the gentleman there, and he said he was concerned at first, but he didn't hear anything, and he didn't smell. So.
All right, any other discussion? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion. You can, we close testimony.
I'll make a motion that we approve the request for conditional use permit. The only thing I would stipulate or ask is that the applicant goes through maybe putting some type of a tree fence out of being neighborly to the neighbor directly to the south.
I'll second it.
All right, so we have a motion by Craig, second by Cole. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
First applicant of new business is Michael Anderson, requesting a preliminary plat for 10 units to be known as Idle Lake Storage.
Step forward.
Adam Geiger with Metal Answer, here with Mike Anderson. That's Scott Harris. As Kyle said, it's a 10-unit CIC plat to be known as Idle Lake Storage. Mike did receive a variance from Claremont Township for a 30% impervious surface, and we're at 27.5 here. And then Jeff, I did talk to Mike, and he's opened up some reasonable screenage, whether it be shrubbery or a tree or something there. He does have a stormwater management plan prepared by Apex, and the wetland delineation was completed on his property. Yes. Spotted on the and shown on the sketch as well. So, you have any questions?
Would these be done completed at one time, or would it be an ongoing process? Sell one, buy one, sell one, buy one.
One time, we just do them all, asphalt it, and then landscape it with rock. Just boom, 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 done. So we're in and out. I noticed there's other storage in the area that don't have asphalt. I did Lake or Island. Everything's asphalt. Everything's landscaping rock. Not a complaint. No dust. Looks very nice aesthetically.
All right. Any other questions for the applicant? All right. Anybody else to speak to this application? Anybody else to speak to this application? Right, any written correspondence, Kyle?
No, sir.
All right, thank you. With that, we'll close testimony. Open up for discussion of the board.
Makes sense to me. Obviously, there's no concern in the neighborhood, and if you want to address Jeff's issue or comment on the screen,
yeah,
seems reasonable to me.
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion to approve.
I will second that.
All right, we got a motion to approve the application as presented and a second by Jeff. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call a vote. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
Second applicant is Anna Rose Steger, requesting a conditional use permit to operate a small engine repair business.
Hello, my name is Jonathan Eidenstein. My wife and I are applying for a conditional use permit to operate a small engine repair establishment in Twinless Township. The business would primarily provide repair services for utility vehicles, outboard motors, lawnmowers, primarily small engine.
All right, questions for the applicant? All right, thank you. May I have a seat? Anybody else in the audience to speak to this application? Anybody else speak to this application? All right. Any written correspondence, Kyle?
No, sir.
All right. Thank you. With that, we'll close testimony. Open up to discussion of the board. Any discussion?
Perfect place.
Thank God for coming to us.
Yep.
They have plenty of land. It's rural. People out there, I'm sure, will use it and be happy. So.
Wish them well.
I'd entertain a motion.
Make the motion to approve.
Got a motion to approve. Got a second by Cole. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
The last applicant, Prairie Lake Investments LLC, requesting a conditional use permit for mining operations.
Right. Please step forward. State your name.
Tori Sonnenberg, here on behalf of Hermit. I do have some paperwork here. If I can give it to you guys.
Absolutely.
Let me just hand it out to you.
Ready? Yep. That means.
All right. Do you want me to just go over a brief summary of the permit?
Yes, please.
To describe the conditional use permit and granted and how we would use it and how it will not harm number one. The request will be a temporary operation. Limited days and hours of operation will ensure no negative effect on surrounding properties. Certain operations such as the crushing of material will not happen year round or every day of the week. There are a limited number of full-time resident dwellings in close proximity to the project. Number two, describe how establishing the conditional use permit will not impede the normal orderly development and improvement of surrounding vacant properties of uses predominant in the area. The temporary project will no effect on surrounding vacant property for use of development. Property is being excavated and mined to establish a buildable grade on one portion of the property and to provide materials for roads on the property. Once this is established, project will cease and development will commence. Number three, describe how adequate utilities, access roads, drainage, and other necessary facilities will have been or are being provided. Utilities for the sites will be minimal outside of the portable toilet on site by us. Access from Highmark Avenue will be applied. Four and through Lake Eunice Township. Drainage and erosion control will be in accordance with the stormwater pollution prevention plan approved by the MPCA agency. Describe how adequate measures have been or will be taken to provide sufficient off-street parking and loading space to serve the proposed use. Parking is not anticipated as we will maybe have a total of 3 employees total on the site at one time. So parking shouldn't be a big concern. And there is 90 acres there if needed. Describe how adequate measures have been or will be taken to prevent or control offensive odor, fumes, dust, noise, and vibration. So none of these will constitute a nuisance or control, and to control light signs and other signs. This site will not produce any above nuisances at any offensive level. Mining equipment will be newer in age and it'll prevent anything on site becoming offensive. Dust control will be applied to Highmark Avenue to limit dust from the mine trail. There is no planned lighting on site, no signage that way. So there will be nothing that way. And then this lists the business, the name of the business, the owners. The type of merchandise will be gravel, rock, sand, and rock. Yeah, it's just kind of.
So, Tori, any changes to the plan from what you've submitted?
Yes. From what I know, going through Apex, they have downed the number of cubic yards from 700,000 after they've done it to 350. So
when you say 350,000 yards, so you say 350,000 yards total mined and used, portions of it used on the project and sold?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a number of amount that will be hauled off of the 350 versus what will be used on site to create the infrastructure?
Not exactly at this time.
You have a rough estimate from just your expertise being an excavator?
Yeah, no, probably I'd say 60% to 70% probably will be hauled off. You know, so that 200.
60% being hauled off.
Yeah. It could be more.
Yeah,
once they decide how much we need on site.
Correct, because you got to.
Then we'll know what we can haul.
You got to build your own networks and your building.
Yes, and then the rest will be hauled off site.
So, Tori, with the reduction in the amount of material that you're going to be removing, would that change the length of time that you're planning for this to be?
We're still estimating 5 years.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
And do you know where the crushing would plan for that to take place on the site?
As of right now, we're still trying to decide the best location for it.
Okay.
But obviously, the house that's in the center of this has no problem with it. So we would try to hug away from all other owners.
Okay.
And try to get it more towards the center of the inside of that L, if you guys kind of see where I'm at there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, which would put it as far away from everybody as we can.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions for Tori?
Yeah. When I was out there, there was those two high hills where there's an old gravel pit.
Yes, sir.
Is there some way you guys can get enough gravel, dirt, whatever you need, for where you're going to build in behind it need to do for roads and so forth without having to make that a gravel pit hauling out extra gravel?
Not according to the plans and how much material there is, correct? We will have to haul it off site, yes.
But they're going to use 140,000 ton on site,
right,
of what you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're already going to use 140,000 tons. Mm-hmm. You're talking
right.
1,400 truckloads.
What I was wondering is if you take that much dirt, whatever that is, 140,000 cubic yards, and you put it down where you're going to build and for your roads and so forth, you don't need any more. You can get that off from that area and put that in and build your roads and whatever you need down there. And it's the extra that's going, that you're going to sell.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. So I guess, you know, myself, that area out there, there's homes out there, there's, you know, it's an area that's, there's not other gravel pits, there's not other commercial operations, and it's kind of going into where there's homes now. They may have larger acreage instead of just a lot type of thing, and it's just an area that if you were going to just move the dirt off those couple hills back down and set up your roads, I think that would be fine with me. But taking the extra gravel and having to dig that out of there and sell it, and the trucks traveling, and I know we got a lot of comments, letters. I think we got 16 letters on it, and I think 14 of them were concerned against that part of it. And so for myself, I guess I question, you know, is there a real need to have to sell that?
Yes.
And what is that need? I mean, why can't you just take what you need for what you're going to build and leave the rest? What's the argument there?
Topographical issues with trying to sell it that way. With that high ridge and that type of stuff, I just feel like it needs to go to do what the owners want to do.
There's a lot of people who live.
Do you have needs for gravel sources in this county?
Yes. Yes, I do. I do sell the
top. It's a limited resource then. Yeah, you build on top of it, it's gone. So you do it once and you're done.
So does it create more buildable lots by removing it? Is that,
yes, sir.
Is that the idea behind it? Okay.
You know, you mentioned that's what the owners want and stuff, and I understand that, but there's a lot of people have written that that's what they don't want. And I think they, you know, if you've got a choice of not doing the gravel pit part and taking the dirt and stuff to build for roads and whatnot, that probably would be more acceptable to the people around the area and to these people that have written in. But it's a gravel pit part that I think they find is the issue, and I find it as an issue myself. Why put a gravel pit in an area where there's homes? You know, why do that? This doesn't make sense to me.
Steve, I think unless you have questions,
yeah.
I think we should keep to questions.
We'll have that discussion later.
Discussion yeah. that we have moving forward.
Any other questions for Tori? Great. Thank you, Tori.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right. Before I open it up to the general audience, I ask for a raise of hands. How many people would like to speak to this application? All right. So I'm going to limit that to 3 minutes also, but I'm also going to ask, if you submitted a letter to us, we've got those letters in our packets, we've read those letters. I ask that you not step forward and read those letters to us. We have done that in the interest of time. And then when somebody, you know, states a fact and has an argument point why they're opposed to it or for it, try not to repeat the same thing 20 times if possible. So if you have some new information, something that needs to be brought forward to us, please do. That's what this is for. But they say I'll give everybody 3 minutes and try and create this orderly. Why don't we start kind of in the front left and kind of work our way around so people aren't standing up and trying to come forward. So with that, whoever would like to speak to this application next, please step forward.
Hi, everybody. My name is David Douglas, and I do reside in the Lake Eunice Township on Meadows Land, which is right next door to this proposed operation. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you tonight. I've come to you Before you voice my firm and unequivocal opposition to the conditional use permit for this, what is a gravel mining operation, I respectfully urge you to deny the permit and offer the following reasons. Incompatibility. The proposed gravel pit is located in area zone agricultural / residential. It is surrounded by homes, family farms, and recreational properties. A gravel pit is a heavy industrial use classification, completely incompatible with the character and intent of the zone. It would fundamentally alter the identity of the community and departure from the newly approved Becker County comprehensive plan. The applicant claims the area is sparsely populated and the residential use is limited. It's a very misleading statement. Many neighboring properties have been actively used as full-time residents. These include seasonal homes, hobby farm, gardenings, equestrian operations, family retreats, all of which demonstrate an ongoing and meaningful investment in the land. Moreover, many of us, including myself, do live there full-time. It's not an anomaly, but a growing trend out there. More and more people are moving out there, building nice homes out there. Year-round residents will be directly affected and continually affected by the noise, dust, traffic, and environmental degradation of this spring. I'm trying to reread this for 3 minutes, so I'll give you the full notes for the scale of operation of the scope of this project. The permit claims are doing this for building purpose, building platforms. The permit states approximately 700 now here, 350,000 cubic yards of material would be removed. I put that in perspective because it's hard, because even at 700,000, 350,000 cubic yards, imagine a football field, and then including end zones, stacked 40 feet high. I mean, you need four of them to be equivalent, 350,000 cubic yards. I don't see how you move that much and still not call it a gravel pit. A far less invasive alternative, like you were talking, would be a land alteration permit, where they just do what they got to do, move what they got to do, and they don't have to move all that property, all that gravel off the property. Environmental water quality, just the application notes the groundwater is expected to reach at 24 feet. Given that volume of gravel flows, we can reasonably assume the project will affect the aquifer sometime. This site is located right in the heart of the Becker County Lake region, 3,500 feet from shoreline of Pelican Lake, 4,200 feet from Big Cormorant Lake, 1.8 miles from Lake Mott. No environmental assessment worksheets have been completed as far as I know, and I was afraid of that. Is it okay if I just submit this?
Yep, absolutely. Yep, you can hand it to Kyle and it'll go in the record. Right. So.
Thank you guys for your time.
Can I give him my time?
No, everybody has their own time.
Try to hurry.
No, I appreciate that. Any questions for David? All right. All right. Next person would like to speak to this application.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for giving me a chance to speak. My name is Monica Douglas, and I'm the better half to Dave there, my husband. We've been on a 7.5-acre home on Meadows Lane for the last 8 years, 16 years we've had the property. It's directly adjacent to the proposed mining operation. My reason for wanting to speak to you tonight is that I'm a person living with a chronic lung condition called bronchiectasis, something maybe you heard recently in the news of Pope Francis was one that had that. And I'm really worried about what the new gravel pit would mean for people like me. Bronchiectasis isn't something you hear about every day, but for me, it's daily. It means my lungs are permanently damaged, even though I never smoked a day in my life. I deal with inflammation of my lungs and constant risk of infection. Clean air isn't just a nice idea for me, it's essential. You may remember last year, the Canadian wildfires. For many people, the smoke was an inconvenience. For me, it was a serious health event. I was stuck inside for days. I had to nebulize several times a day just to maintain a reasonable oxygen level. I was exhausted and it was really very scary. And it made me realize just how fragile my health really was. Now we're talking about putting a gravel pit in this area, something that really releases dust and fine particles into the air every day, not just during wildfire season, and not just for a few days, but every day. And I can't help but ask, why would you put something here that we know will make people sicker? This isn't just about me. It's about the kids in the area with asthma, seniors that we know of in the area with COPD, people recovering from COVID, our neighbors and our families. Once the dust is in the air, we all breathe it, but some of us will suffer a lot more for it. I work hard to manage my health, and I monitor my air quality regularly, and I avoid known triggers. I do what I can to protect myself, but I can't protect myself from a gravel pit in my backyard. So I'm asking you, please, don't approve this gravel pit. Protect the people who already live here, the ones who just can't move away. Thank you for listening, and thank you for thinking about what kind of community we want this to be.
All right, any questions for Monica? Thank you. All right, anybody else to speak to this application?
Yes, good evening. My name is Bennett Gendro. I have a 5-acre parcel in the Meadows area adjacent to this pit. And I would like to just put one question to Mr. Douglas. He figured up how many semi-loads how many semi-loads of gravel would be in 700,000 cubic feet. Could you tell us, Dave?
I guess 40,000 loads. I think it's 40,000 trucks.
80,000 trucks? We're figuring 80,000 trucks in that a beautiful area, right in the middle of the lakes area. People have the nice houses. Even the sheds out there, the man caves are well landscaped and whatever. And this pit would just devastate the area out there. And the Highmark, it's not a big fancy road. You can hardly make two cars meet on the dang thing. So, thank you.
All right, any questions for Bennett? All right, thank you, Bennett.
My name is Christopher Kopka. We have a cabin at 51409 County Highway 31, which is but a couple miles from the subject property. I'd like to talk to you about, I'm not a neighbor, but I am a resident of the area. And I think this project will have profound impacts that go well beyond a neighbor. It's not just a neighborhood issue. It's an area dominated by summer residents, by kids playing, and the property being in the lake. It's a place for people to go and recreate and sort of tone down a little bit, have fun weekends and enjoyment. This is not the kind of use that helps support that area. I happen to drive in from Fargo today. In front of me were two gravel trucks on the town on the Downer Road. Behind me were two gravel trucks, and I passed five gravel trucks coming the other way from the operation that's on Downer Road. It wholesalely changes the character of a much larger area. I'm not taking a thing away from the residing neighbors to this property, but I think you need to understand that this kind of project has much larger and much more profound impacts. Those trucks are heavy, they're very noisy, they are intimidating, and it just changes the nature of what is a very kind of colloquial, common, comfortable setting. And it doesn't need to be that way. So I'm asking you to not approve this project.
All right, any questions for Christopher? All right, thank you.
Good evening, my name is David Mornville. I am the president of Lake Mott, a job that everybody wants. It's in high demand, wanted by a large vote, unanimous. Nobody opposed me. So anyway, I'm up here to speak about the project. I have over 50 signatures of residents on Lake Eunice and Lake Mod on just County Road 22, the road that goes between Lake Mod and Lake Eunice. That's one of the proposed routes that they're talking about that would leave from 138. So I can present and give you those petitions. But I guess the biggest thing is, if you've ever been on County 22, it's not a very wide road. There's no shoulder. There's a lot of kids playing there in the summer, cars back out, and it's a very treacherous road for those kids. We finally have a speed sign set up there for people not to go over 30 miles an hour that'll flash and let them know. So that's something we have through Becker County that we paid money for. And that gives us the concern of the speed of people going through there. Now you're gonna throw gravel trucks through there. I think it's gonna be very dangerous. County Road 138, I've been, my grandfather bought a lot from his relative on Lake Mod in 1932, and we've been on that lake ever since. I'm not that old, but I've been there all my life. And I know County 22 and County 138 very well. If you drive that 138, it's a very hilly road. And that Highmark Avenue, to drive north on Highmark Avenue, you come to a stop sign and you turn right. I've been going westbound on 138 towards Fargo. Many times I've had a car turn out from Highmark onto that road and they've overwent the roadway into my westbound lane. Now you're asking a gravel truck to turn right onto that highway, 138. You're just waiting for an accident to happen. That road is hilly, dangerous. I've hit a deer on that road, and other people have hit deer on that road coming over that hill. So I'm very, very concerned about people driving up and down that road. And when I stand on that road, or drive on that road of 138, what amazes me is that I can look towards Detroit Lakes, and I see a gravel pit, and I see high sand there at that strata gravel pit on Munson Lake Road. And I don't think there's a shortage of sand, because I can see that hill there. And then I drive towards Fargo, I see the gravel pit we were talking about previously on the Downer Road, where I can see the hill of sand. Why is there a need to have a gravel pit when I can see sand that high on both sides, looking east and looking west? It doesn't make any sense to me. I guess the main reason I have to say is why you'd be in favor of this. Here's my petitions, and thank you for your time.
All right, any questions for David?
Wow, that's timing.
Right on time.
Good evening, my name is Diane Dissey, and I grew up here but have been away for a long time. But now my husband Jim Murphy and I have a home on Trouse Lake, which is on Lake Eunice Road, Highway 15. And we are concerned, we both served on planning commissions that related to Highway 101 on the West Coast. And so we always required a traffic impact report. And I don't know if you've driven Highway 15 or Lake Eunice Road, but it's getting increasingly busy just in the few years we've been here. And there is the cement plant cost. They go on Highway 15 down south to the area that you would be that would be affected by this. So that's our major concern. And yes, the man that spoke early and said the impact is wider than just the people who live there. That's true. It will affect traffic in that area so badly that the homes along Highway 15 and along the other connecting highways will be greatly affected. Thank you.
Any questions for Diane? All right, thanks. Next person who would like to speak to this application.
Good evening, and thank you guys for your service to the Becker County. My name is Dan Wilson. I own approximately 19 acres that adjoins this proposed project. I'm totally against a mining permit, a gravel permit on this property. There's no place for it in that area. There's lots of areas where gravel pits can be, but there's a lot of homes that are around there. My grandkids play in on those 19 acres. I don't want them playing next to a gravel pit that's going to be unsafe for them and the other kids and other people in this, that neighborhood. I have no problem with them moving the dirt and leveling it out and making it into storage lots. I'm all fine with that. And that's what I did with the property that I have. I have no problem with that, but take 35 or 350,000 cubic yards of dirt off of that, 8,000 truckloads or 10,000 truckloads, whatever it is, that's not the right place for it. So, thank you.
Any questions for Dan? Thank you, Dan.
Hi, my name is Sue Spitzer, and we live right across, not the road, but adjacent, I'm going to show you. We are 105 feet from this fireplace here. This, yeah, that's 105 feet away from where they want to drill. This is ours. This is 105 feet. This is what they are proposing. So I don't see how the noise can be controlled. And the fine sand. This is our place, 105 feet. Here is where they want to do it. So I'm just concerned about the fine dust. We do have to have them cut down. Get emotional now. But I don't want this, because I know it's going to change everything in that beautiful area where everyone wanted to be out in the country, and now we're going to deal with the gravel pit and the noise. And I'm worried about our well-being capacity also. So, thank you.
All right, any questions for Sue? All right, thank you. Anybody else to speak to this application?
Hello, my name is Dennis Smithwick. My wife and my son and I, we have 30 acres together just off by Mark on the east west side of the road. And our property is 220 yards from the excavation site. And appreciate the opportunity here to comment on it. And we are definitely opposed to this project. And as per your letter, you asked for suggestions to make it better for us and its community members. And we hope that the project will proceed forward if you approve it, as only described under item two. A couple sentences, I will read those again. Describe how the property, describe and establish a conditional use permit would not impede the normal activity of others. And the project reads like this. This is a temporary project with no known effects on vacant property for use or development. The property is excavated in mind for two reasons. Number one, establish a buildable grade. Number two, provide materials for roads on that property. And as soon as that is done, this project will cease. And further down there, describing how the, this will not occur any offensive odors or noise. And there should be penalties in place if they do exist. Some immediate cash reimbursements. I suggest a significant cash bond be made and maintained, and payouts done by a third party if those events do occur. And the major risks that I see are we're less than a mile from the two major lakes in our region, Pelican Lake and Big Horman Lake. Removing all this material may cause significant underground damage. And the worst case scenario, drain both lakes. And people will say that could never happen. Well, if it does, whose liability is it? It's us as taxpayers in Becker County. We don't want to have to pay for those substantial damages. And it just puts a huge financial risk on the county. Why would the county want to put their foot out there? And lastly, the three major gravel pits in our area, Haug, Strata, and Glacier, they're all on industrial property. We don't have that anywhere near this area. And lastly, I thank you for on your letter, you say that you will look out for the needs and the welfare of the people. Appreciate your concern. Please vote no. You are our representatives. Thank you.
All right. Any questions for Dennis? Right. Thank you, Dennis. Anybody else to speak to this application?
Hello. I'm Cheryl Schmidt, and we're on County Road 11 by Pikes Bay. Not too far from where this is going to be proposed. Just found out about it. We didn't get any notification that we know of about it when we returned from a vacation, but I tried to reach some people along Pikes Bay. Nobody knew about it. I'm sure some of the people are here now, but as you know, there's somebody developing that property right over there. He's put a lot of effort into that, putting in trees and making it look beautiful. And we pay a lot of taxes. We have a very humble place, but every year our taxes go up high, and we would just really respect your decision to keep this an aesthetically beautiful community for us, because we absolutely love it here, and you won't know.
Any questions for Cheryl? All right, thank you. Anybody else to speak to this application?
I wasn't going to, but Julie Nelson. My backyard will be a gravel pit. I'm about 125 feet from there. 5 years construction, windows not open. Can I enjoy the outdoors from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m.? Why did we build there? We love our view. We love our neighborhood. Yeah, there's not that many of us there, but we do love our area, and why are you building this in an area where you have people right next door to you? Just a couple hundred feet from you. And you're gonna make our life miserable for 5 years. I have to say.
All right, thank you, Julie.
Good evening. Thank you for your service to Becker County. My name is Anna Frizzell, and my husband Jay Gibson and I own property in the area about 300 feet from the proposed gravel pit. In anticipation of the conclusions that this board may come to, one of them is that you may consider passing the conditional use permit. You may not approve it, but an option would be at your discretion to look at an environmental review. I think that you've heard a lot of information about the impact that we all feel will happen, and I really appreciated the gentleman that came up and talked about the wider impact that this has. And I have a broken windshield from the Downer Road, as I'm sure anybody else that's been on it in the room will raise their hand, has had at least one. But the point is, I guess, that if the commission is considering approving this permit, at least allow a close look to be made of the impact it's going to have on that area, an area that we all love and live in. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Anna. Anybody else to speak to this application?
My name is Jeff Seltinger. I live on Highmark Avenue, directly south of the proposed property. My house is 1,200 feet from the mine. And I just want to thank everybody that's come up here and talked. I think they covered most everything. And the 5 years thing, I just heard about that today, and that's unreal. So I have to listen to dust noise for 5 days a week, 11 hours a day, for 5 years, if not more. We just want what's in the best interest of the people already living in the community. Gravel mining is not in the best interest of anyone living in this area. And everything else has been covered. When referring to Chapter 1, Section 1 of the Zoning Ordinance, none of this promotes and protects public health, safety, and general welfare throughout Becker County. It does not lessen congestion and public rights-of-ways. It does not preserve and enhance the economic values of agricultural land. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, when I did send in a letter,
yep.
I hope you all got a copy.
Yep.
If you didn't, I got it here, and there's much questions in there, much facts, and
yep, we got it.
We great. Received. Thank
so,
you.
Thank you, Jeff. All right. Anybody else speak to this application?
I'm Mike Smithwick. I have 15 acres just north of the proposed gravel pit. I want to thank you for your service for protecting the public from stuff like this happening. Everything about this application has been minimalized, and now they come here tonight and change your prediction on how many square cubic yards they want to remove. A half. That only takes it from 55,000 truckloads down to 25. And it'll be coming right past my driveway. Mr. Sonnenberg's business for the last few years is 100% providing materials for Coast. And to have a sitting planning and zoning, be an investor in a company that's running this, that's a huge ethics concern. I can't even believe he would be allowed to be back on the board after this. He's going to vote against other permits required or requested by oppositions. His can't even talk. That's how upset I am. It just stinks. This is a residential area. There's a dozen homes. If I yell at my lab to sit or come or run, I guarantee you half of them homes can hear me from me, from my yard. You can't tell me we're not going to hear generators running all day long. Tozers, payloaders. One of the key words in that permit application is merchandise. Merchandise means you can sell it to anybody. Sure, they're only going to have three employees on that lot that they employ. That doesn't mean they can't have outside people have their employees there. No. The merchandise, the customer pickup, Coast will be sending in 30 trucks at a time all day long to go pick up their product that they bought, the merchandise that they bought from the sand pit. And this is just ridiculous. And I can't even believe anybody would think of passing this. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mike.
Could I ask a question? I don't understand. No. The conflict is that Cost is going to be buying now from this new gravel pit.
You guys can have that discussion later. That isn't part of this meeting. So. All right, anybody else to speak to this application? Anybody else to speak to this application? All right, Kyle, any other letters other than what we've received in our packets and sent to us?
No, sir.
Is anyone from the township here, Mr. Chair, that wants to speak to it? Maybe it's the road network.
There's somebody here.
Do you want to speak from the side of the township? You're not required to.
I would just say that we, Ed Clem, Lake Enos Township Board in Beckerville and Water Conservation, they did approach township, and we have agreed with them to. They're going to bring a road agreement to us next month in our June board meeting that we will review. Typically, what we're looking for in a road agreement is chloride, which I think they probably already agreed to, and also a three-year regraveling rotation. So they'll be taking over the regraveling of that road while it's in operation to essentially mitigate damages to the township road from the truck traffic.
All right. Thank you, Ed. All right. With that, then, we will close testimony. Open it up for discussion of the board.
Has there been any talk, Kyle, of the meeting on this?
Please speak into the mic so the.
Oh, has there been any discussion on the environmental review and any water quality
issue testing?
No, so during those comment sections, I can't remember which individual sent it, but the mandatory threshold for environmental review is 40 acres at a mean depth of 10 feet. This property or proposal does not meet that criteria as it's proposed at 20 acres. We do have an environmental review tech panel. They met. Their suggestions were no mining into the water table, DNR water appropriation permit should the individual request to wash materials on site, and then also to make contact with Brandon Gill, who is the gravel pit inspector with the SWCD. That group did not determine that either a mandatory or discretional EAW was required.
Thank you, Kyle. Any further discussion?
Yeah, Kyle, that comment you made about the water table, I have no idea out there, but how far down is that from the surface?
According to their mine plan, it was estimated at 24 feet. That would be using LIDAR, that is existing county data, at the, you know, I would say the lowest point on that property, then using it to the closest public body of water shown on our PWI map, and the elevation of that would be 24 feet difference.
24 feet below the high water line? Or are you?
From the lowest point of mining proposed on their site, it would be 24 feet to estimated groundwater depth.
Okay.
There's 24 feet between the groundwater and the proposed mine.
In the proposed, yes.
Yep. Yeah.
We've got to remember, they don't want to go on the water table if they want to make it buildable right now. I mean,
right.
That'd be the last thing you would do is go to the water table. Because you want to be able to sell the property, right? We're not, ultimately, this would be a nice piece of land once they're done. It's the 5-year impact to get there, right?
Right.
That's the issue. It's not a regret, because the owners could go out and move the 140,000 cubic yards and not even be here right now if they stayed under 2.5 acres and build it, and nobody in the room would get to say anything, and they could dig for 20 years.
Right.
If they wanted to, as long as they don't remove it from the site, the county has nothing to say. You can just keep scraping with the dozer every morning, every day, all day. If you want to buy a little tiny 4-foot blade and go rattle around because you're retired, I mean, you could do that.
Well, actually, it could be removed if the issue is the sale.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, but if they go haul it outside for free, right?
They could hire an individual.
Right.
Which I've had conversations with these folks about that.
Right. Because then that's not a mining operation, right? So it's not going to pull that. The county doesn't have their hands in it.
Yeah, I think where it gets confusing is what is the difference, and really what is the difference is the sale of the material.
Right. If the environmental impacts are the same.
Yes.
But yet, they're better when it's a mine because it's controlled. You got a county weed inspector that ensures there's no noxious weeds growing. You're sure you don't go into the water table. You're sure you don't impact the well. You have a time frame, it stops it at 5 years. I mean, if I was the developers in those chairs, I'd be like, hey, let's get this done. I want to sell property so I can get my money back. I don't want it to take 5 years, but you also have to have an outlet for the gravel too, right?
Right.
And you got to have the trucks to be able to take that. Because regardless, if they're going to build it in 140,000, that's, you know, depending on the size of the truck too, everybody keeps estimating trucks. Well, you can do a 12-yard truck to a 20-yard in dump to a full semi. So what do we, if they could take it all down there. So it could be anywhere from 5,000 trucks to 12,000 trucks. I mean,
yep.
That's a fictitious number that we don't know how they're going to remove that, and that's not for us to decide. Are they, you know, or they could take it up in their four-wheeler and ATV trailers too, you know?
Yep.
I mean, if it's for sale, it's for sale. It's no different than how. And there's a comment that how is the biggest pit in one location. Well, how got them all over? He's got a mix of pits all over Strat. I mean, these pits exist everywhere in this exact same setting across this county. I mean, County 54, last one approved by this, no different.
They're not
an industrial area. And all this they keep saying is residential, it's all zoned agricultural.
Yep.
It's not zoned residential. They may think it is because they got a house, but it's not. It's not based on use, it's based on land. So it's all agricultural.
And the land around it, you look at it, a lot of it has been developed. It's the same thing. Those people were taking gravel, they were putting stuff to do it. And I get it. I understand everybody's concerns, complaints. I get it. At the same time, we all know this is where the development is going to happen. This is the future. There's other people that are going to need that gravel. There are people that need housing. Well, these guys are looking to provide that. You know, it's like the 5 years, whoever said it, I agree. It's going to suck. But
I mean, at the end of the day, the 200,000 cubic yards that are going to go somewhere are going to get trucked on those exact same roads because they're all going to get the gravel. If I need gravel, I'm going to get the gravel.
Right.
It's going to go by my neighbor's house. If I need 10 yards, it's going by my neighbors,
right,
and every other neighbor's, right?
Yeah. It's going to come from somewhere.
Right. It's coming from somewhere.
Right.
And this area is gravel country.
Yeah.
We're fortunate enough to have the resource.
Yeah.
And not be far going all up the road. You know, maybe we're just in the stock.
Yeah.
So are you going to build kind of a berm around this area when you start mining it?
Step up to the, we would step up.
So, you know.
Berm wise, I think, have you been out there?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So really, this property does have kind of a high berm all the way around it on the north and west side. So, I mean, berm wise, we're going to be below it anyhow, you know, during the process.
Sure.
And that's part where, you know, it's, I think the two people that have definitely the right to have issues, the one directly to the north, people to the south, they'll still be affected. But that's where my question was, as a matter of kind of where you were thinking about setting up, you know, the crushing plant. Because that is one that's going to make the most noise. It's going to create the most noise.
You got to realize we're not setting up a crushing plant for every day.
No, I get that. Yeah, but no. Still, for when that happens.
Yeah. It's no, and obviously it's the best location, right? But we're aiming to get it as far away from them as we can.
Sure.
So
like when you set up to crush, any idea how long that would be? I mean, would it be a week? Is it a 2 week period when you do the crushing?
Yeah, I would say roughly 2 weeks max.
Okay.
Annually, right? Annually.
Annually, semi-annually, just depending on how the material moves.
Right.
Right.
You know, typically a spring or fall type of deal. So, yes.
Would you be willing to agree to limited hours when that is happening? So people that are trying to sleep aren't, you know, not starting at 7 in the morning, going until 7 at night is what I'm saying.
For the crushing.
For the crushing part, I'm going to be honest with you, when them guys move in, their production. It isn't like I'm doing that, right?
Right.
I hire somebody to do that.
Yep, I get
it. They're a big production. I think, you know, we could probably limit the 7 at night, but they do generally tend to like to run that 10 to 11 hours because they got a high investment and they need to keep their machine moving.
They don't ask spring and fall.
Yep. What time of the year would it be?
It would be and most likely spring and fall, like in April, you know, late. Technically, you know, if we're running long material through the summer, you would want to crush in the fall so you're ready for the spring.
So you're ready to go.
Yeah. So we're going to try to lessen as much of the impact as we can, right? I got to work with some of these people when we're in that area. I don't want to do any more damage to them than.
Right. I get it.
So.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tori.
Guys.
I got a question. I don't know where to address it too. Has anybody talked about a traffic impact study?
We can't hear. Yeah.
Talk to me. Well, you'd have to address it to Kyle.
Kyle, has anybody talked about a traffic impact study or the location?
No.
All right.
That's not our board decision anyway.
Well, I'm to be honest with you, I'm not familiar with one ever being done. It's not a practice. I understand that she mentioned that. It's not a practice of the county. I'm not saying it shouldn't be, but I'm not familiar with one.
It's typically done in large urban areas.
You may, yeah, you.
Probably, I mean, Fargo Moore is barely getting.
You would traffic. Probably have more.
They're getting studies, but doesn't have them Cobb, you know, the whole region. But you're talking hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, you're not talking trucks.
Right, Steve, did you have a question for Tori?
Yeah. And us, I guess mostly us, but as far as the time of operation, you've got 7 to 6 p.m. And everybody out here has been talking about traffic and problems and the semis and, you know, not semis, but gravel trucks on the road. Is there some way that we could look at limiting that time when people have gotten to work and before they come home? So go like 8 to 4, something like that for operation, and it relieves all that travel issues, accident issues, somebody getting killed out there. It would help if we did something like that.
It would just lengthen the time of this duration. Now let's go to 7 years. And, you know, I mean, that's what you're just doing. If you can't move the material, it's going to just keep extending the process.
The part that we don't know is the time they're operating. Is it all day, every day, Monday through Friday? Or is there a downtime in there where they wouldn't be on the road? So what you're saying wouldn't actually be true. It wouldn't extend it. It would just be like that 8 to 4 when they are hauling. There would be more trucks at that time. There would be less problems with traffic, people turning on and off the roads. It's something that we could do. That the big concern that I heard here is that, and the safety issues. It would help people living in the area out. And, you know, I guess frankly, I'm kind of tired of people showing up and we not listening to what they're saying and helping them out, taking their concerns into play and trying to do something for the people that live right there. And so changing the time is something that we could do to help the people in the area's concerns out. And I think that's something that we should look at. It's the protection, it's what we're doing best for Becker County and the people that live in that area. And we should be looking at that. And not from the perspective of allowing the gravel pit people to operate as long as they want and do what they want. There's got to be some limits for the benefit of the people that live in that area. And I think we need to take a good hard look at that and what can we do for them.
Well, 8 to 4 benefits some, but some work nights, right?
Pardon?
People work nights, correct, Steve? I mean, 8 to 4 is accommodating everybody.
No, I'm not saying everybody. It would help the timeline. It would help if we put it to 8 to 4, it would help. And it wouldn't help everybody. I'm not saying that. But it would help the people that are on the road during that time when the gravel trucks are operating, when they really maybe don't need to. And if they need to extend the time to get the gravel out of there at the end of 5 years, we'll know that. And so maybe we extend it for a year. At that point, we'll know.
But Steve, trucking's only a portion of it. The residents that are speaking here, they're truly the close ones.
You got to speak into your mic. I don't have my hearing aids on.
The ones that live right there are truly the impact, right? The people that are 100 feet, it's 300 feet, to 500 feet. Traffic, I mean, yes, on Highmark Road, right? Once you get out on 11 and 15, it just starts dispersing. You know, I mean, yes, Fridays, I mean, it's busy, right? I mean, I'm not downplaying the roads aren't busy, but we're not having fatalities weekly and we got issues and, I mean, let's be honest here, right? I mean, we have things happening out here. I mean, fatalities on Becker County roads weekly. Got thousands of gravel trucks, thousands and thousands and thousands of vehicle travel miles. We're not having issues. So adding one mining operation for 350,000 yards, zero, minimal impact. You couldn't even quantify it in hardly a percentage.
Put it in your backyard.
But that's what I said, their backyard. You're taking into consideration safety on the road. It's the 15 houses that are close. That's the impact we're trying to say to minimize. That's what Craig and I are saying. It's gonna suck for them. Everybody else can deal.
Who's gonna fix the road?
Can I talk now? Yeah. It's the people that live in that area around Pelican Lake and the roads in that area. They're the ones that are here. They're the ones that wrote to us and signed the petition, evidently.
And that's where all the gravel's going, is to build all those properties.
And so I'm just asking.
Hey, no comments from the public, please.
I'm just asking, is there something that we can do for the people that live in that area that are concerned.
Or you could say.
And I know there's all kinds of stuff going on, accidents, whatnot, all over the country. But this is something new. It's a gravel pit. It's where homes are being built. And it really, to my opinion, it shouldn't go there. You shouldn't put a gravel pit in and around all a bunch of the homes and that's well established. And so it shouldn't be there in the first place. So if we put, if we allow that to happen, then we need to do something for that area to make it less dangerous for the people there that are going to be using the roads in that area. Regardless of what happens anywhere else in the county or whatever, this is that area that, that I'm talking about. And having the time of operation from 8 to 4 would help. And they may have to operate a year longer. We don't even know that until 5 years are up, and that might be a consideration we would take on at that time. But in the meantime, the people on those roads out there are protected better.
All right, we understand your point.
Yep.
All right, Harvey, you had a question for Tori?
How many trucks do you got?
Tori, just step forward so I can answer so it goes into the mic.
Roughly seven.
Seven trucks?
Yep.
How many employees?
Right now?
Yep.
8 to 10.
Yep.
Anything else?
Okay. All right, thanks, Tori. All right, any further discussion from the board?
Mr. Chair, there was also a suggestion about only mining near the closest property owner to the north during certain times of the year. Maybe consider mining that area in the spring or fall. Obviously, it was mentioned that the residence in the center is owned by the applicant's son, so that concern wasn't there, but the biggest concern is probably the neighbor to the north, and maybe if that mining could occur in, you know, again, fall or spring.
Is it a suggestion? Is that an exhibit you have where the X was?
Yeah, yeah. That was a suggestion.
When you say spring or fall, is that like get that area knocked out right away, get it done?
Right, so probably go in there.
That'd be your day one plan?
Yeah,
well, and then minimize impact to that area?
After Labor Day or something, and before Memorial Day type of thing.
And then
you mine that area where it, you know, could have the effect on that individual.
Is that reasonable to do that in the spring and a fall?
I think. On the north side of that, yes, I think we can formulate a plan to do that, I think is the best way to put that. Along that, you're talking just along
the I think what we're talking, Tori, is just these people right here, they're the ones that are going to be the most impacted. I mean, this would be, you know, like when the development happens when you're making the roads, if you could remove all of this first to go make the roads so that the rest of this isn't near as intrusive to these people.
We can formulate a plan to do something like that, correct?
Or maybe,
but right now I don't have a plan to do that. If that makes sense.
They were this bold.
Yeah, this bold.
I think it's Spencer. I think they wrote it down.
I think the suggestion behind that, and it didn't come from that individual, but would be if they're seasonal, it may have a more limited effect on them. If they are seasonal, I'm not sure.
Are they here?
She came up and told her for the property, wasn't it?
That was me. And yes, we are seasonal. We're from May to October. We're here.
Do you get your home rent or do you stay there?
It stays there.
All right, any further discussion?
What can you guys vote on if it's not cut in stone or plants?
Let us do what we're going to do. We can put in stipulations, and that's what we do. So,
I'll just make the point to the board, either if they want to haul it off for free, the county roads that are impacted have no way of recouping the cost. If we have them sell it, they pay a county gravel tax, and the county gets money to maintain them roads that we all drive on. It's a huge impact of the road network that we all drive on is gravel tax. So if he wants to haul it off and forgive it for free, that impact is zero positive impact to this county. Because it's going to happen one way or another.
All right, any further discussion?
Yeah, as far as that idea, it's going to happen anyway. If somebody else owned this land and did what I was talking about, just wanted to kind of shave the top off those hills, fill in the roads and whatever they want to do down in that other area, and then they wanted to quit, just do that. It's not going to happen. It just depends on who the property owner is right now and what they want to do, it sounds like. And if there is somebody else owning that, they may not shave off anything. They may have, you know, three or four lots in that section where the hills are.
And I make the point, Steve, is he does own it.
He does own it, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
so
we can't make decisions off of if somebody else owns
right,
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he is the property owner. And
yes, I understand that, and he can do what he wants. But if somebody else owned it and chose not to do that, then there is another way that this could be done. It's not going to happen that way, but depending on who the owner is, determines what is done in that area.
Yep.
And so it's not going to happen inevitably. It's this right. time
well,
it is.
But these people own it now, and here's the planning problem.
And I think what Cole was like talking about when Cole said it's going to happen anyways is if we say no, he can't have the mining, they can still go in, remove all the gravel, do everything they can, give away the gravel, and it'll happen anyways. That's what I'm saying Cole is getting at.
If we say no, that's what they will do. And then there's zero control by the county, by a county weed inspector, by any MPCA enforcement, any erosion control. They just go and do.
So, all right, any other discussion? All right. So I would entertain a motion.
I guess I'll be the bad guy because I was the most vocal. So I'm motioning to approve with the constraints that north property, that little L shape where the X in the exhibit is only done before Labor Day, before Memorial Day and after Labor Day. And then all their stuff is approved, and I'm going to follow all the permits that are needed by the MPCA or Becker County.
All right, we have a motion by Cole to approve this application with the change. Just give me a second, Steve.
Yep.
So with the change that section that was marked out in the map be excavated after Labor Day and before?
Attachment B.
Yep, attachment B.
Yep, that's on that.
Okay, so we have that motion. Do I have a second?
Yep, second.
Got a second by Harvey.
Mr. Chair,
yep.
As we've done in the past for any type of application of this nature or this much controversy, I'd like to request a special meeting to consider conditions and findings of fact or this motion that would be consistent with an approval. And at that point, I can bring you maybe some other conditions. You wouldn't have to accept them. You don't have to accept the findings of fact I bring you. But I would, if Mr. Scaleen is willing to amend a motion to...
Yeah, it'll only strengthen the permit process and hold the landowner accountable, so I would agree to that.
All right, so just a second, Steve.
I have a question.
So then we got Harvey, do you still second that motion with the change by doing the finding of facts special meeting?
I would, and we obviously have to notice that meeting, so looking at a calendar, the next county board meeting is June 3rd. We could not make that meeting. So the following meeting would be the 17th. So I would suggest that, you know, obviously not the morning of that, probably the week prior, if we could do
Wednesday the 11th, 8:30 a.m.
Yep.
Which then means this permit would not be heard at this coming board meeting.
It would not be heard at June 3rd, no.
It would be heard at the June 17th County Commissioner Board meeting. Correct. All right.
8:30, so you said?
8:30, Wednesday 11th, special meeting.
Mr. Chair, Kyle, what is the point of that? Is this going to be a negotiation? I don't understand that.
No, it's to strengthen the record, essentially. We need to be able to respond to every comment that was made here. You're not going to be able to do that tonight. And also, it gives some time for further consideration on conditions. I can go through each comment heard and maybe come up with something more that you can consider.
And that will be a public meeting?
It's a public meeting. We don't take public testimony, though.
Right.
People can listen in.
Yep. All right. We got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call a vote. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
Can I ask my question now?
To me? You can ask a question.
Yeah. When would I make a stipulation in here that they operate from 8 to 4 instead?
That will be a discussion at that special meeting. We can talk about it.
Special meeting?
Yep. That's not part of the original motion, but that can be added at that time. So, okay. All right, I will take a motion to adjourn. Second?
Yes.
Second? Meeting adjourned. June 11th.